But I have no greater joy than my children walk in truth. On this back to school Sunday, this is a message for every family, for every child, for every grandparent, for every auntie. There is no greater joy than knowing our children are walking in truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Help us, oh God, to hear what you're saying to each and every single one of us. Lord God, help us to not just hear, but help us to apply it to our lives. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your strength, Lord God. As we wait upon you, Lord, your word says that you will strengthen us. Help us today, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This is family month. Every February, since I've been pastoring, we have family month in February. And it's just a great time because we start off the beginning of the month with back to school. But family month is a very important time in our church. And it's not just about children and mums and dads. It's about marriages. It's about our relationships. It's about the church because we are a family. And I'll be speaking frankly about family and relationships and attitudes and forgiveness and all those sort of things. So if you don't like any of those, you can just stay away. It might be a little bit challenging, but I think we all need it. Somebody say amen. You see, strong families make strong churches. Strong churches make strong communities. And strong communities make strong nations. No nation has ever prospered where the family was not held as sacred. And as the family begins to be pulled apart, so becomes society as well. Things begin to break when people begin to pull the threads out of the family. You see, I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in truth. Everybody say truth. Some people see the Bible as a great work of literature. And yes, it is exactly that. The Bible is the greatest work of literature. Some people consider it a historical chronicle of the Jews and the early Christians. And yes, it is that as well. But the Bible tells us that the Word of God is truth. The Bible tells us that this Bible is supernaturally inspired. That we know that the Bible is more than just a great work of literature. It's more than just a chronicle of the Jewish history and the early Christians. We know that the Word of God, this Bible, was divinely inspired. What we have between the covers in my hands here today is supernatural revelation to humanity. Revelation to mankind. Revelation to us, not just Christians, but if anybody would live by this word, let me tell you, you will be blessed because it is the truth of God. Somebody say amen. And so the Bible is the Word of God. Let me say this, the Bible is divinely inspired by God. The Bible is supernatural. The Bible, the Word of God, is truth. And why do we need the Word of God? Why do we need a truth? Let me tell you, the Bible will dispel the deception that is in this world. The Word of God will enable us to be able to undo the lies of the devil. The Bible is the truth. It will reveal the truth. And let me tell you, there still is truth. Somebody say amen. Believe it or not, people are starting to use the phrase, and I even hear like what I thought was smart people saying this. Well, that's your truth. I've got my own truth. Let me tell you, truth is absolute. Truth does not change. We need to understand that. I mean, I'm disappointed in some people. I hear them talk. I'm like, man, I thought you were smarter than that. What do you mean? You've got your truth. I've got my truth. They've got their truth. I mean, what on earth are we talking about? Truth is absolute, and the Word of God is truth. And so when we have the truth of God's Word, it doesn't matter what lies the world may throw at us. It doesn't matter what deception the world may throw at us. We have the Word of God to know what is true and what is a lie. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Bible is a compass that will point us on the right path. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, it's like a torch. It's like a flashlight. The Bible begins to provide clarity in every part of our life. It will shine truth in every part of our life. That's why some of us, we've started going down the wrong path. Why? Because you've walked away from the truth of God's word. The Bible is very clear that there was a man, a foolish man, who built his house on the sand. And the sand is probably a great way to describe what this world is like. Shifting opinions, shifting morals, everything's changing. And if you're going to build your house on the world, you're building on shifting sand. But there was a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And when the storm came, when the wind blew, because the man's house was built on the rock, it stood firm. And let me tell you, the only way, you can try to build your house on this world, but let me tell you, the foundation's going to be constantly shifting. It's going to be constantly moving. One moment you're here, one moment you're there, one moment this is wrong, now it's right, now that was wrong, now it's right, this was right, now it's wrong. All of man's ideas. But if you build your house on worldly things, they're just going to shift and the house is going to come down. Only the wise will build on the word of God. And if you're wise enough to build on the word of God, your house will stand. Somebody say stand. So the Bible is our guide. Matthew 28 tells us and sets out the Great Commission. We are told to go into all the world. Everyone say go. To teach all nations, to baptize them, teaching them to obey the word of God. But very often, and this is family month, we are told to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to make disciples, but very often we neglect a group that is right in front of our eyes. We've forgotten that we need to disciple these people also in the ways of the Lord. This group of people are in front of our eyes every day. They aren't a group overseas. You don't need a passport or a visa to go and minister this group and share the gospel and disciple them. Let me tell you what this group is. This group is our family. Go make disciples, yes. But let me add a little bit here. We ought to go home and make disciples as well. Sometimes we're so focused on a lost world, and yes, that's where our focus should be. That's not wrong at all. But we miss the family right in front of us. Yeah, God may be calling you to do the great things for Him, let me tell you, but it starts with our family. Those children that are born in our house, one day they're going to grow past the age of innocence. And these children are not saved just because they grew up in a Christian house. I got one amen. They're not saved because you got a prayer life and because you read your Bible and because you serve God. No, they're not saved because they have godly parents. Parents, they are not saved because you have a relationship with God. They're not saved because I'm a pastor or a minister. They've got to have their own relationship with God. And if we're going to make anyone a disciple, start with our children. Because there is no greater joy. Let me tell you, somebody knows what I'm talking about today. Somebody's children have gone wayward and they'll tell you straight away, Pastor, there is no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in the truth of God's word. There's no greater joy to know that my children have a compass, they have direction, that they're building their life on something that will not move. Write this down if you're taking notes. God has no grandchildren, only children. You get what I'm saying here? God has no grandchildren, only children. It doesn't matter who your parents were, your grandparents. It doesn't matter what sort of godly heritage you have. God has no grandchildren, only children. And so if you've got children today, Let me tell you where you can begin your evangelism efforts, where you can begin your discipleship efforts. Begin them amongst your children. After God, our family comes first. Before there was a world to reach, let me tell you, before there was a world to reach, there was a family. Before there was a church, there was a family. Before there was a Bible, there was a family. Before there was 10 commandments, there was a family. And let me tell you, church, we must do everything in our power to raise our children in the ways of God. You can try to raise them in the ways of the world, but you won't even be able to do it. Why? Because it's constantly changing. You wonder why parents are so messed up in their head and run from here to here and there to there. Why? Because they're trying to build their family on a shifting sand. The goalposts are always moving. The opinions are always moving. One day you're meant to be doing parenting this way. The next day the world's saying parent this way and parent that way. Give them this, don't give them that. Do this, don't do that. It's all shifting sand. Get back to the Word of God. It's forever settled in heaven. Everything else will fade and wither, but build your household on the Word of God. Oh, you think you're smart. Oh, well, we're up to date. We like to go with the world. Let me tell you, you're just going to send yourself mad trying to keep up with the shifting sands of the world. Oh, old school? Yeah, old school. But it doesn't move. It doesn't change. It's the Word of God. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Being a pastor is a great responsibility. I take it seriously, but to raise my children in the nurture of admonition of the Lord is my greatest calling. I may not be a champion, but I may be able to raise a champion, and that's my prayer. I may not be the greatest preacher, but I may be able to raise the greatest preacher. I may not be the greatest missionary. I may never go to a foreign field, but I may be able to raise somebody that will go and reach the world. You see, I don't want it to stop with me. My greatest responsibility is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and to disciple my own children, to teach the Word of God to our children, to teach them. We've got to be serious about this. It's not just going to happen. You parents already know there's not enough time in a day to do everything that you want to do. And then you add the pressures of the world and what the world thinks you ought to be doing. You're just always chasing your tail. We must be serious about raising our children in the ways of God. Somebody wrote this, and I thought it was funny and also very convicting. To be honest, he wrote, the real reason it's so hard to bring up children right is because they insist on imitating their parents. Whew. The reason why it can be so hard to bring up children right is that they insist on imitating their parents. Now, how many people are going to be bold enough to say they think there's some truth in that? All the perfect parents have got their hands down. They got problems, those other people. Doesn't that make us realize the importance of being an example? Our children don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. They're not going to want to serve a God that you don't even serve. And gladness. We've got to serve the Lord with gladness in our heart. The Bible says that there was a generation that didn't serve God, and the answer was because the parents didn't serve God gladly. Why would our children want to serve God if you make it look like such a terrible thing, such an inconvenience? Sorry, guys. But to be honest, the real reason it's hard to bring up children right is that they insist on being like their parents. But there are many pressures on the family. Everyone say pressures. How many people know there's pressures on the family? How many people can feel the pressure? Yeah? I can. Lift your hand. Parents, if you know there's pressures out there. That's right. And here's some things. Here's some of the things, some of the pressures. Number one, a lot of families are just so busy and they have no margin. Now, those that like reading will know that there's a purpose to a margin. Has anyone ever tried to read a book that has words from edge to edge, top to bottom, the whole page covered in words? It's very hard to read. And if you look around your Bible, there's a margin. Around your books, they have big margins because it gives space. Space. And there are some families that are so busy, they have absolutely no margin in their life. It's like stretching a rubber band from here to here, trying to do everything. And it's so stretched that it only takes one little thing to go wrong. So you say, well, what should we do, Pastor? There's a lot of things we got to do. There's a lot of pressures. You need to make margin. How do you make margin? By making priorities. What are the important things? We can't do everything. You can't. Let me tell you, you can try, but you can't keep up with the Joneses. You're going to have to create margin. And you create margin by making priorities of what's important in your life. You cannot keep up on all the demands on life. And sometimes people's finances are so stretched as well. There's no margin. Every single dollar, unless it's spent right, it's so stretched. There's no margin. One thing goes wrong, someone's tooth falls out. We're like, oh, there goes the budget for the next month. Back to porridge. Everybody say margin. You see, a lot of families are crushed by the pressure to do it all. And where does the pressure come from? The world. always adding, but never subtracting. No priorities, competing priorities, they may say. But then the other pressure, we got the anti-Christian culture in the world. How many people would agree that there is an anti-Christian culture in our world today? Very much so. Parents, we're constantly fighting to keep the world out of our family. Protect our children. We're trying to protect them from the filth of this world. And it's always there. It's within reach of our children almost every moment, especially if they've got unrestricted use to mobile devices. I tell you, if you're allowing your young children to have unrestricted access to mobile devices, you're giving them access to the most filthy stuff in the whole world. You ought to rethink that. Poison and pollution. Thank you, David. I should have wrote that in my notes. You know, we're having conversations with our children that we ought never to be having. Challenging. We're being forced to tolerate things that we would never have dreamt of tolerating. Talking to our kids about things that we wouldn't have even had a clue about when we were their age. Trying to explain things that they've seen on the internet, in social media, that we never even seen in our whole life. There is an anti-Christian culture in the world. And the Bible says, and we all think about the Antichrist, but the Bible says the spirit of the Antichrist is already at work in the world. And every single one of us that is a Christian today will say, yes, you're exactly right, Pastor. There is a spirit of the Antichrist. Then we got media. I talked about media constantly undermining the family. The very foundation and stability and strength of Australia, the traditional family unit has been attacked from every direction. And then we've got materialism. Everyone say materialism. It's been hurled at us on TV, and people don't even watch TV these days. Billboards, radio, internet screen, you open up your phone, all these things is just materialism. You got to have this, you got to have that. This will make you happy, that will make you happy. And with all this materialism, as parents, we think that we can substitute presence, P-R-E-S. It's really hard to spell things out there. Presence, being there with presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. Oh, we think, well, you know what? I can't be with my kids. I don't have any time. I'm too busy. But you know what? I'm just going to give them lots of stuff. Let me tell you, it's no substitute. Let me tell you, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. Here is the key. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Everybody say contentment. Yeah. I've been to some of the most amazing parts of the world where the lifestyle is completely different to what we have. Compared to us, materialistically, they have nothing. But let me tell you, compared to us, in joy and happiness, they're miles ahead. Because godliness with contentment is great gain. Such a simple scripture. For we brought nothing into this world and we're not going to carry anything out. If we've got food and raiment, if we've got food and clothes, then be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, everyone say the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. And let me tell you something I've learned in life, and I'm being very forthright today. Loving money is very expensive. It can cost you your family. It'll cost you precious time with your family as you pursue its accumulation. It'll cost you your relationship with God. It will bring in a root of all evil into your life. Loving money is expensive, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I sat with a young couple once, and they were looking to buy a house. And they got their budget together, and they had no margin. Everything. And I looked at them, and you know, they wanted to upgrade. I said, you know what? You know what's easier and better than an upgrade is if we can just learn to be content. I know it might not be the time. Maybe you have to wait. But if we can learn to be content with what we've got, let me tell you, it's not impossible. It's not impossible to be content. It's not impossible to enjoy the small things. The old saying, the best things in life are free. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, cardboard boxes. Just get them from the back of the shopping center. Kids would play the whole school holidays with cardboard boxes. What's happened with our contentment? We're still the same human beings. But the bar's been raised so high, we can't even reach it as parents. Which brings me to my next point. We're crippled by comparison. Comparing ourselves. So much pressure when we compare ourselves. We compare ourselves now more than we ever do. Why? Because we have a window into other people's lives through social media. Once upon a time, we didn't really know. And so we feel pressured by comparison. And whose fault's that? It's not society's problem, it's our problem. If you feel pressured by comparison, it's not society's problem, it's because you're always looking that way. The pressure of comparison. We just need to turn our eyes away and say, you know what? I refuse to get involved in this comparison. I refuse. You know, it's the rat race. Everyone say the rat race. And everyone that's in the rat race is a rat. We are destroying ourselves with comparison. With comparison. You see, you know, even in social media, we've created something that we cannot handle. A means of constant contact. We got to learn to shut it down. You see, the comparisons, you thought that, you know, you're taking your family on a lovely holiday and everyone was so happy, and then you opened up social media and, we only went to the coast, they went to Bali. While you're enjoying that lovely bowl of spaghetti bolognese, Brother Victor, you opened up social media, Brother Alex was having prawns. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It's probably one of the most powerful concepts you could get. It'll bring happiness into your life. Everyone say contentment. God's speaking to somebody right now about contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, as I come to a close. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Okay? We've got to teach them to our children. Everyone say diligently. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You know what this is telling us? Family should be our daily obsession. Yeah? Yes, to love God, that's our responsibility with all that we've got. But then to teach it to our children, to talk of it when we sit, talk about it when we walk, when we lay down, when we rise up. What is God telling us? He's saying you ought to take your family seriously. And your family ought to be your daily obsession. Family comes first. And when you look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they set up that golden calf. And everybody was bowing. The whole community, the whole society was bowing down to the calf. And there were three young men that stood. And we say, oh, that's going to be my kids. Well, I hope it is. But the reason why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was stood while everyone bowed is not just because of some head knowledge, but because their parents had put something into them. Their parents had made their family a daily obsession. It had been taught to them. And so when they stood there, everybody else was bowing, but they stood there. In the face of every single other person bowing, they stood there. Why? Because their parents took their family seriously. It was their daily obsession. Everyone say daily obsession. And it's not just what was told to them, but it is when it was told to them. Everyone say when. Developmental psychologists will tell you that with moral development, there's a window that begins to open at 2 years old, where we can teach our kids moral development. There's a window that opens at two, and it grows wider and wider until they get to about 10. And that window is as open as it ever will be at 10. That's the greatest time to teach our children morals. It's the greatest time to teach our children the Word of God. The window opens at 10 and slowly begins to close until age 18. So it wasn't just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego what was told to them, but when it was told to them. We have a window of time. Those children in our house, we have a window of time, just a small space. We say, Pastor, well, that's true. Teachers know this already. Well, if that's true, Pastor, then why don't we take our kids more seriously? Well, let me tell you why, because they act silly. They seem crazy at times. Our children can seem disobedient. Sometimes it seems like they don't hear. We say they're just kids, Pastor. They don't listen. No, let me tell you, they are listening and they're watching. There is a window of time. Let's all stand in this place today. I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. The greatest joy as a parent is to know that our children are walking in the truth. Abraham was a blessed man. Everyone say blessed. Genesis 18 verse 18 says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become great, he'll become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Wow. Abraham, what qualified you for that? What were your qualifications, Abraham, to become a great and mighty nation and you're blessed? What were the qualifications? What were the unique distinctions that caused you, Abraham, to be selected? That caused God to choose you, Abraham? What was it? Here's the key. It's right there on the screen. Here's the key why God blessed Abraham. He says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. That is exactly what the ingredients are to live a blessed life. God blessed Abraham. Why? Because he knew that Abraham would raise his children in the ways of God. If you want the blessing of God on your life, commit this day to saying, you know what? I'm not going to quit on my children. I'm not going to stop putting truth in them, because I know there's no greater joy than to teach and to know my children are walking in truth. Can we just lift our hands right now? If you don't have a family, I want you to pray for the families in our church right now. Grandparents, aunties, mothers, fathers. Children, if you're here today, pray for your parents. There is no greater joy than to know that our children walk in truth. I want my children to have a guide. In this world, Lord God, I want my children to have a solid foundation on which to build their life. Lord God, I don't want my children growing up just chasing every whim and every idea in the world, Lord God. Lord, that when the storm comes, when the troubles come, Lord God, that they will be firmly built on your word. Help us as parents, oh God. Help us as parents, oh God, to prioritize, Lord God, our children and their salvation. Lord God, that we would make disciples of our own children. Oh God, help us as parents to be good examples to our children, oh God. That we may experience this joy of knowing that our children walk in truth.